Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, that's Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And then if you could flick back to Psalm 23, which, if any of you can remember, is on page 458 of the Pew Bibles, We'll be focusing on the last two verses, but I'm going to read the entirety of it. So page 458, there in the right-hand column, and it reads like this. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray for God's help as we open up his word together this morning. Heavenly Father, your word is more precious than gold or silver. It is sweeter to the tongue than honey. Help us this morning to know the sweet truths of this psalm, to be able to join David and Jesus himself, knowing the comfort, knowing the joy, the security, knowing that you are for us and with us. Speak to us clearly this morning, Father, we pray. In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen. Amen. So one of the distinctive parts of the Christian faith is this, that anyone who has put their trust in Jesus, anyone who is following him as Lord and Savior, has a certain hope. We have a certain hope of the world as it will be. The language the Bible uses for that is a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. It's that promise that Paul spoke of there, that place where there will be no more pain, there will be no more tears, there will be no more death, but we will dwell with God. And this psalm helps us to fix our eyes on that hope, but it doesn't neglect the fact that we live in the world as it is. That we live in a world, we live under the shadow of death. And this psalm helps us to follow the good shepherd. It gives us the confidence and trust in him. I know many of you, this is your first Sunday back after being away. A couple of weeks ago, as we began, we started with that opening phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we said that that meant three things. It was to profess our allegiance to God as our King. It was to express affection, a deep love for what he has done for us. And it was to profess assurance, to know that God is for us and that God is with us. And as we close out our time in this psalm today, there are two big truths for us to fix our eyes on, for us to cling on to as we walk through the world as it is, looking forward to the world as it will be. The two big truths are this: the abundant love of the God who provides and the always love of the God who pursues. You can see, you'll be able to follow along with the sheet that you had in your Bible or you picked up on your way in. But these are the big points that we are going to be looking at together this morning. And the first one is the abundant love of the God who provides. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not asking any of you to shout out to me, but the question is this: what place do you feel most safe in the world? I typed this into Google, and what I got some, I found this webpage which gave these answers of all these primary school children, elementary school children. These were some of my favorite answers. The first one was this: a young lad called Sam said that he feels most safe at his mom's house because she has a buff husband. But I kind of don't feel safe there because he sleeps a lot. Another one said this: I feel safest at the school because there are many teachers who explain instructions, so they sound like they know what they are doing. Or finally, the last one, and this is definitely my favorite: I feel safest in my refrigerator. The monsters can't get me there. And also, I can make myself a sandwich. I'm sure there's many people who find that relatable, many people who can understand that. And actually, from that trivial point, we actually kind of get into what we see here. The trust and the security we know in God, knowing when we are surrounded by our enemies, he protects us, but he also provides for us. Have a look with me again at verse 5. We're continuing here where we are saying with David and with Jesus, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, where we are in the psalm, we are still in the same valley that we looked at last week, that valley at the beginning of verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death, that valley of deep darkness, of pain and anxiety, a place of danger for the sheep. But here, this is why this picture is so wonderful and it's so strange. You prepare a table before me in front of my enemies. It's like a wedding cake surrounded by hungry toddlers or a snowman surrounded by outdoor heaters at full blast. It's in a position of danger to its safety. Yet the sheep here know that when God is for them and with them, they are safe. The chances of survival here seem grim, except for the fact that the good shepherd is with them. And the picture here is not just of security. It's a picture of abundance. You see the language there. You anoint my head with oil. That word anoint literally is fatten. You fatten me. You enrich me, God. And you see there, my cup overflows. When people were at war or in battle, normally they only have very small rations to feed themselves. They have to have the bare necessities, what is sufficient just for what they are doing. But look at the picture that is presented here. A cup which is overflowing. A head that is enriched and fattened with oil. To be anointed with oil was a picture of hospitality. To be anointed with oil is to be honored and is to say that you belong here. So when David's saying this, when we say this and we sing this, we are saying that we know that we belong with the good shepherd. He has put his mark on us, and this is our place, our family, our home. And what this psalm is that remembering, what he's remembering here is the way that God always consistently provides for his people. We as God's people know how God provides for us in the most unlikely of circumstances. One of the things we looked at in the first week was how this psalm is built on the Old Testament event of the Exodus. The Exodus is when God liberated his people from backbreaking and hope-sapping slavery and made them to be his own and brought them out of that land and to be his people. They were a people who followed God into the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness, when they had followed his word, he provided for them daily manna to feed on. Manna which they collected. And even on a Sunday, on the Sabbath, the Saturday for them, they were to collect more. So on the Sabbath, they declared their trust and their assurance that God was with them and God provided for their needs as they followed his word into the wilderness. In the New Testament, we hear the story, and many of you will know this, how Jesus, when the people, the crowds, followed him out into the desolate place, he fed 5,000 men and their wives and their children with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And after they were fed with that, there was still much left over. The people followed Jesus out into the desolate place to hear his word, to hear his teaching about the kingdom, and they were provided for. And this is what we know as God's people, that those who hear his word and follow him, who hear his calling as our shepherd and follow in his ways, hear his word, that God provides for us as we seek to carry out his will, to be his people. This is the confidence and the assurance and the trust that we have in our good shepherd, is that he provides for us. There's a guy called Mez McConnell, who's the pastor of a church down in Edinburgh. As part of what they are trying to do is they're seeking to start new churches in some of the poorest, the most impoverished places around Scotland. He tells the story about how once at one of their church finance meetings, they announced that they were £12,000 over budget. The very next day, he got a phone call from a pastor he knew and said, "We had a meeting in our church yesterday, and we decided we want to give you £12,000. He knew nothing about their situation. But here is a picture and a reminder that God provides for his people as we follow his word, as we walk in his ways, as we obey his will. God provides for us as we seek to be his people, as we are his flock. So often we can feel fearful of the risks of following him. We can feel fearful as the enemy surrounds us and we don't know what we are going to do. But for those who know the Good Shepherd, we can say with confidence and assurance that you prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is overflowing. But one thing that we considered last week was this, is that this was a psalm not just about us as God's people, but it is that and it's more. But this was a psalm of David. This was a psalm of God's king professing his confidence in the Lord as his true king. And really what I want us to do is look at that phrase there, "You anoint my head with oil." Throughout the Bible, I know that might seem a really strange picture. It's not one that we do nowadays when we welcome people into our homes. But actually, this picture of oil is rich. It's got rich imagery all throughout the scriptures. The great high priest was anointed with oil as he was about to enter into the Holy of Holies, to be in God's presence in the tabernacle and the temple. And not just the great high priest, but God would anoint his chosen king with oil. He anointed Saul and he anointed David with this oil. And there was a picture, it's a picture of God giving his spirit onto his chosen king to indwell and empower his king for the call that he has on his life. And Jesus is that same priest king who is anointed with that spirit. The picture it is baptism, where the spirit comes down in his head and he is anointed as the Son of God, the shepherd who is to lead his people out of slavery and into the freedom that God has won for them. And so Jesus is that king here saying, my head is anointed with your oil. I am the one who is anointed with your spirit. And it's not just him, but here's a picture, is that all those who follow Jesus, all those who put their faith in him, receive that same spirit. The spirit which empowers Jesus for the mission that God has called him to is the same spirit that indwells and empowers us for the mission that God has called us to. This is the picture in that one of the most wonderful stories in the Bible in John chapter 4. You can check this out later on, where Jesus meets the woman at the well. And there the picture is of this woman who is asking for water. And Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God, Jesus asked her for the water. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. When Jesus speaks there about living water, that is him giving the Spirit to those who believe in him and follow him. The Spirit is that which provides for us, the Spirit who satisfies our longing and our hunger. Some of you coming here this morning, you might just be coming along for the first time, or you might have been away from church for a while, and you've looked at lots of other things around the world, and you think there's not much that satisfies. There's nothing that has given me this yearning, this craving I have. And Jesus says here that the Spirit is what you need. This anointing that I can give for all those who are joined to me by faith. And this is the picture here. God provides perfectly. The shepherd provides perfectly for his people by giving them the Spirit, so that we have all that we need to stand secure, and so that we might live out in the world as it is, under the shadow of death, as we walk towards our eternal home. God abundantly provides for us. And God always provides for us. This is the final point, their second point, is that the good shepherd who provides for us is the good shepherd who always pursues us. And so in this final verse, in verse 6, we see a shift from the now into the future and the forever. You see that there in that those phrases which match each other, where we see all the days of my life, and then that very last phrase, forever, which you see if you've got the notes there, literally, for length of days. Here they're drawn together, and the picture is of the God who is for us, with us, pursues us, and preserves us for the length of days, for all the days of my life. Remember where we were. We've been in the valley of the shadow of death, in the world as it is. And these sheep, they're tender and they are weary walking through this valley. Some will be hobbling along. Some are fatigued. Some have got lost in the darkness. And what we see here is the picture of the God who pursues them in love, in goodness, in mercy. I'd imagine, and I know that some of us here are feeling this. It's been wonderful to be back for the last few weeks to see old friends, but for many here, these last 2 years have been hard. I know that many people here are just feeling weary and jaded. Some here are probably just clinging on and holding on and not thinking how much longer they can go for. And the wonderful assurance here is that God is holding on to his people. The shepherd is keeping a grasp on you if you are his. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd does not leave any of his flock behind. This picture here of goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. That word follow is used elsewhere in the Old Testament, and it's used of armies pursuing their enemies. I think it's helpful to consider it in those terms. When we think of follow, we might think of God's goodness and mercy following us along like dogs. Just wherever we go, he reactively follows us. But this is a more proactive picture. This is a picture of God who is pursuing you. This is a God who is not abandoning you. This is a God who is seeking after you when you are hobbling, when you are plodding. This is a God who is pursuing and seeking after you when you are weary and broken and hurt, when you are struggling with the anxieties of this life. This is the confidence that we have. That goodness and mercy, God's steadfast, everlasting love is always with us. Here we see the commitment of God to his people. Jesus is that passage that we read in Luke 15 at the beginning, just before the sermon. Jesus is that good shepherd who seeks us out in the darkness, who seeks us out when we are lost. Jesus is not one of those, doesn't look and think, well, I've got a nice, decent number here anyway. 99 will do. No, any sheep that belongs to him, that has been given to him by the Father, any sheep that has put their trust in him and followed him, Jesus pursues you all the days of your life. Once saved, you are always his. In John chapter 10, where Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd, he talks about this. He says, whatever sheep has been put into my hand by my Father, no one will snatch out of it. Once Jesus lays a hold of us as his people, we are forever his. If you are God's, you are undeniably his. You are inseparably his. You are eternally his. I was speaking to a friend recently after many years of being away, of not being in contact. And he was sharing with me his story of about how he became a Christian. In his teenage years, he was part of a paramilitary militia group. And he wanted to leave it. And he was given two options. The only ways you can leave are either by getting involved in religion or going to the army. And he said, no way am I going to church. So he went to the army. When he was in the army, he met some Christians who helped him to encounter Jesus through his word. And he told me that on the Wednesday night, seeing the beauty of the character of Jesus, seeing the wonder of the salvation from sin, he put his trust in Jesus. But straight away, he felt the challenges of living in the world as it is, living in the valley of deep darkness. And a couple of nights later, he went out with some of his fellow soldiers and they went along to a brothel. And in there, as they walked in, the very first thing that he heard was the song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. And he thought, I can't be in here. He left and they went to another brothel. And the first song they heard inside there was Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And he knew at that point, God is not just save me, but he's got a hold of me. God pursues me into the darkest of places. 30 years later, he has known that he has stumbled and fallen, but God has still continued to pursue him all the days of his life. God's goodness, his mercy, his steadfast love is certain, is sure, is everlasting. You see, Jesus pursues us and preserves us on our pilgrim path. And because he does that, we know that we will dwell secure in his house forever. And that's the final bit that we'll look at together this morning, and our final bit in Psalm 26. This confidence, this humble boasting, this assurance, this trust is this, that we can say, because Jesus is our shepherd, that Jesus got a hold of us, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the certain hope that we have. The valley that we are in, the world as it is that we live in, is not our end. Instead, we will be with God in his presence forevermore. This is the picture. This is the hope that drives us through as we live in this world. We talked about this last week. This is the light. This is the joy that Jesus looked towards as he endured the shame of the cross. This is the light. This is the joy that we can see as we take up our cross and follow him through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus is for us, Jesus is with us, and Jesus has prepared a place for us where we will be with him. This is the hope of that new heavens and that new earth where righteousness dwells, because that's where the Lord dwells. We talked a bit earlier on about how the priest was anointed with oil, was empowered by the Spirit to go into the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, in the place of Israel's religion, was where God dwelt, especially in his glory among his people. And here's a picture that we, given the Spirit by Jesus, our Shepherd King, will be brought into the presence of God. We will behold his glory and his beauty. We will no longer be tainted and dimmed by the sin of this world. No longer will the corruption and hypocrisy, which marks so much of our lives, which marks so much of our nation and our world, no longer will that be present, but we will be in his house forevermore. And it's wonderful the way this finishes, those two phrases, all the days of my life and forever. Here is the promise. God has us. And it's not a case of here it is every single day he has got us. It's not a case of us looking and saying, well, on Wednesday, the 19th of January, at that point, God might let go of us. The hope that we have is all the days of my life, forever, God has got us. And we know that we will dwell with him because he is with us and he is taking us to be with him in that perfect heaven and earth where he dwells. Let's pray together. God, our Father, you are the one who in your eternal love set your affection upon us. You are the one in your goodness and mercy has given us Jesus, who has pursued us, who has won us, and who is holding on to us. You are the one in your goodness and kindness has given us your Spirit to enable us, to ennoble us, to empower us. Heavenly Father, help us with full assurance and trust to know and to say and to believe that you are a good shepherd. We shall not want, we shall not need, we shall not lack. as we live in the world as it is, sustain us. As we look forward to the world as it will be and the home in which we shall dwell, be with us, shield us, protect us, preserve us, and establish the joy of your salvation, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.